Everybody, welcome to Drive-Through HR. Brian Wimpen, Nisha, and William coming to you live today, talking about HR with the folks that are getting it done. We're actually on-site at a conference in Norman, Oklahoma, USA, at the Oklahoma State HR Conference. William delivered a smashing session yesterday, incredible raves, Pavarazzi everywhere. But so that was excellent, and so let's get to our guest as quickly as possible because I think he is going to change some lives today. David Spector, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you very much. So that was a wonderful introduction, by the way. I felt like a rock star for a moment.
Well, and you know what? I'm pretty sure you are. I'm just pulling it all together for you right here on Drive Through HR. So if you would, introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and we'll roll from there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's a moment like this, I feel, to quote David Lee Roth from the bygone days of, you know, the vintage Van Halen, when he said, look at all the people here tonight. Thank you so much. That there. Millions, hopefully, thousands, I'll take that as well. My name is David Spector. I'm the global head of mobile at TMP Worldwide. TMP, just to briefly give a synopsis for those of you who haven't heard of us, largest independent recruitment communications agency in the world, I believe, also ranked in the top 50 of digital agencies by Ad Age recently. That report came out. And really, we focus on, you know, the digital components as a mainstay of the whole recruitment ecosystem. Also specializing in employer brand, and all of that, you know, includes the components you're well-versed in, social media, typical traffic driving and creative elements, and of course what's going to be the focus of our discussion today, which is mobile, which is the hot topic for recruitment at the moment. Hopefully that gives you a little picture of what I am and where I've come from.
Absolutely. David, if you can, get into your clients' heads for just a second. What's keeping them up at night? Here we are midway through 2013.
Well, it's an wide-ranging question, actually. I think it's a number of things. Obviously, the war for talent in particular functional areas is still very aggressive. With respect to their competitors, they always want to be seen as the employer of choice, and it's really finding the channels to market that, and the messaging from a creative standpoint that prove that they are just that. I mean, it also extends to the campus recruitment audience as well. Everyone's looking for the same quality individuals, and the thing that most are worried about is how do I get them and my competitor doesn't. And this is especially true for companies which have a lot of work in areas which they would not necessarily be considered to be specialists in. For instance, you have a lot of banks who specialize in IT and that aspect, and they're looking for guys who would typically gravitate towards someone like Google or Microsoft. So it's really figuring out a way to get to them before anyone else and to demonstrate that they are just as good. An opportunity for people such as these wonderful IT geniuses as any of the technology companies.
For our audience, if you don't mind, break down the kind of state of the union of mobile recruiting as you kind of see it as it is right now and maybe where you think it will go over the next 6 to 9 months.
Well, this one's pretty straightforward in, you know, from the very sort of rudimentary aspects. Everyone's got a mobile phone, and in growing proportions, those owners also have smartphones. So really, at the moment in the U.S., the penetration of smartphone ownership as a proportion of the entire population, not just the phone owners, but the entire population is nudging towards 50%. I think it's around 44, 45 at the moment. And the prediction is that by 2016, the access to the web will be predominantly on mobile devices. That includes handsets and tablets. And, of course, you know, there are more things to think about in terms of how people are interacting with content that's delivered via the internet. It's not just about these devices we take for granted, but, you know, smart TVs will at some point become a valid option as well. And the internet's going to be delivered just about anywhere you can fit a small screen. So, really, everyone knows that they need to do something, and we're at a stage now where a lot of people are asking, what exactly is that thing I need to do? It's not like with social, you know, a few years ago where sometimes people really didn't understand the value, or they had a lot of fear that surrounded it because they weren't users themselves. So, you know, a lot of the concepts of people being able to easily publish information that could have been derogatory. And then as time goes by, we see how to manage those aspects. But with mobile, it's actually much more straightforward to understand how important it is because everyone is a mobile user. So it's really about figuring out what's the best way to make sure that the prospective candidates can access our information in a user-friendly manner using their mobile devices.
You know, what's interesting, David, is I often think not in terms of mobile, but more in terms of touch, because of the world that we've occupied for the last 15 years in computing is mouse-driven, where you have a mouse that does the little clicker and thingamabob, and now you're using your finger, and now you're using your finger for those things, either on a tablet or a phone, etc. But like you said, you're going to be able to have these things almost anywhere, but it's the configuring the mind around touch. Like, how do you convey that? First of all, if you believe that, that's great. If not, you know, please shred it.
Well, but I actually wholeheartedly believe that, and I have a term for it, which you may or may not have heard of, which is called the pursuit of tappiness, with the tap being, you know, how people are interacting with their touchscreen devices. And it's one of the components of any presentation I give, you know, to educate about this, is that you have to start thinking of the user interaction being swiping, being pinching, being, you know, actions that are performed with the fingers and hands. And you have to start modifying your user interface to support that as well. I'm sure that every listener here would have come across a situation of frustration where they were trying to touch a link on a web page that they accessed via their mobile device, and because it was so small, they'd be touching the one next to it, and or they'd have to zoom in quite a lot in order to accurately touch what they want to. All of those components feed into the whole user experience piece. So it's really important to consider that it's not just about, you know, showing the content you want on a smaller screen, which may have bandwidth limitations because it's on a slower network, for example. But yes, as you point out, it's really about making sure people can use their thumbs and fingers as easily as they expect through general smartphone usage. So I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with you, and it's all about getting the user interface right. You know, the concept of information architecture and how you build a great user experience has now become much more important than ever before.
How much do you focus on the experiences insofar as there's an offline experience, an online experience, and then a tappiness experience, if you will? How much do y'all kind of dig in and help your clients kind of work out the buggies of these different types of experiences?
Well, I think we have to make some assumptions based on the statistics that we have at hand provided by reliable sources that the touch experience isn't going to go away, and it's going to become more prevalent. But you have the flip side of that, which is really what I consider to be the difference between a device for content creation and content consumption. And this kind of defines how we're seeing tablets and handsets being used, handsets in particular. They tend to be much more about consuming content. But the idea of creating things on them is a little less straightforward. And certainly the lack of a full-size keyboard tends to be one of the prohibiting factors. And for something like an application form, that can be quite an arduous thing to fill out using your thumbs and fingers on a small screen device. So really, you have to start looking at, are we asking too much of the end user, considering we're quite aware of their environment? With the offline piece, I mean, there's some great methods of combining the virtual world with the real world, as it were, using mobile phones. And a really rudimentary example of that is something like a QR code, which, you know, you could effectively be using at careers fairs. If you have you're looking for staff in a retail environment, putting up banners or posters that have QR codes to scan so you can go straight to jobs available at that store is a very nice way of making that combination of the two worlds, as it were. And then you've got things like augmented reality, which really do have a purpose in terms of brand build in certain instances, particularly with respect to college recruitment, for instance, where you can hold up your phone using an augmented reality application, scan an environment through the camera, and then it superimposes virtual content on top of that environment. And it creates a really engaging piece of content that people really understand your brand a bit better. All that being said, the most important thing is accessibility. And as a root level requirement, you just have to make sure that everything you do in the online world will render in an effective manner on a mobile device. Because ultimately, even if you're not driving specific traffic using mobile advertising strategies, people will find you just naturally through search engines. Google being a classic example, if someone searches for jobs at your company name, links will come up, and you want to make sure that when someone touches on one of those links, they get through to a mobile optimized experience rather than the desktop. So there are many opportunities, but all of it boils down to one core requirement, which is to make sure at the end of anything that people use to drive the candidate towards their opportunities, that when they get there, that they have a fulfilling experience that's not frustrating. Because if it's difficult to use, it does have a reflection on the brand itself. And a lot of the time, you know, people, if they find something difficult to use, they leave and they never come back. So really that, in essence, is the fundamental requirement.
Is mobile recruiting and mobile hiring, are they for, like, if we could look at the world of recruiting and hiring, is mobile really kind of fit for a certain type of candidate or a certain stature, if you will? Like, I think some people would automatically assume, well, mobile recruiting and mobile hiring is for, you know, people under the age of 25 for maybe their first or second job out of college. That would be a thought. So against that thought, is that the truth, and or what do you see?
There is definitely some element of truth in that, but I think it's changing as each year goes by. For instance, the fastest growing demographic in terms of mobile phone adoption is actually above 30. Reasonably enough, the younger demographic is already getting more saturated because, you know, their first devices tend to be mobile, and that's what they are used to, especially when it comes to interacting with their social networks, which Facebook recently released statistics saying more minutes were spent accessing their site on a mobile device than on any other. So that's a part of it, but that starts to taper out because it's reached saturation point, and we're seeing the big growth happening in the above 30 age group. Now, going back to one of your initial point there, which is there perhaps a type of professional or functional area, job category, as it were, that's more likely to see people following the process right through to actually apply from a mobile device? Whilst the jury's still out in terms of hard evidence, we're starting to see patterns emerge which would suggest that jobs such as hourly paid roles that could be seasonal will have a higher success rate than jobs that are, you know, a higher level, a senior management, for instance, where people might want to spend a bit more time refining the content of their application. So there is definitely some variance in those demographics. I think at some point in the future, we'll understand a bit more to say, in cold hard facts, these types of roles are definitely seeing more people apply from mobile devices than others. But ultimately, people are still finding the roles on their mobile device in the first place. So in order for them to apply, they may end up sending themselves a link to apply later when they're sat at a desktop and they've got a bit more time. But ultimately, they will still need to be able to access the role in the first place, the job details, as it were, from their mobile device. So I think in summary, everyone is using their mobile to search for information, and jobs are part of that as well. But the concept of everyone using their mobile device to actually follow through to a complete application probably does vary according to job role more than it does according to age. That's a bit speculative at the moment, but that's what our statistics tend to suggest.
Nice. David, let me do a quick reset. Everybody, you're listening to Drive Through HR, and we're on with David Spector. So, David, let's really dig in here. What just makes your skin crawl when people start talking about a subject around mobile? What do you just want to stop today? You've got the power. Stop it. Tell us that.
That's a good one. I don't want to put my foot in it over this answer, but I'd say probably one of the legacies, actually, before we really started to understand the importance of the fact that mobile first is really the route to take. Make it platform agnostic. It should work on any device. It should, you know, not really matter if you've got a smartphone, an Apple phone, or an Android, or even you know, any of the other in the third ecosphere, as it were, that are coming out now. The Windows Phone is going to become very popular soon. BlackBerry have a couple of wonderful devices they've just released. I think it's really when people think they need applications versus a website. There's always been this perennial sort of discussion about, do I need an app, do I need a website, a mobile website? You absolutely need to have the website, because that's where your traffic naturally will be directed to. Search engines don't force an app to open on your phone. It still has to take you to a website. The app itself, a lot of the time we see apps come out with a recruitment sort of function, which are really just job search in a native app. You can do all of that using the web browser on any of the devices that I mentioned before. So that means that you build it once, and it works across the wide range of smartphones and tablets out there, as opposed to building an app, which is always going to be platform-dependent. And then if you want to cover the widest possible audience, you have to build the app for multiple platforms, which increases the cost. There's times when an app is absolutely essential, and that's when you want to access functions of the hardware from the device itself, such as the camera. So as I mentioned with something like augmented reality, an app is a necessity. But if you're just trying to get people, you know, to find your jobs, then you really need to have that site there. So I say a site is an absolute must. An app is a, let's think about it, let's see if we really need it at this moment in time. There are some marketing and branding benefits, but you always need to drive people to that site anyway. So the site is the foundation. So that one argument, sometimes if people are arguing in favor of apps versus a site, I would always say, come on, you need the site, you may not need the app. I think, you know, otherwise, really, it's maybe the pace of change. We all use the mobile devices, and seeing some clients possibly take a little bit longer to really appreciate how important this is at this moment in time. I think, you know, that's due to a number of factors. Budget's always one of them, and then getting buy-in from the rest of the organization. But that will change very quickly. And I always say, you know, when I'm doing these types of presentations, that the longer you leave it, the more you lose your talent pool to your competitors. So the ones who get out there and do it right sooner rather than later will definitely see an advantage.
If one of our audience members hasn't, let's just say they haven't done anything with mobile, they're new to the firm, etc., they haven't done anything in mobile, the site's not optimized, the career site's not optimized, whatever, where do they start with developing and defining a mobile strategy?
Well, that really depends on, well, a couple of things. How much time have you got? And also, really, budget is the defining factor. So if you've got an opportunity to rebuild your career site, as an example, from scratch, then you should absolutely be considering a mobile-first approach to that. And what that means is really looking at the mobile user as your prerequisite fundamental baseline for functionality. Can take it into consideration that devices do differ in with respect to what they support. Some devices may not be as functional as others. Certain people will have older devices which will have a less capable web browser, as it were. But you need to make sure that the key content and elements that you want people to be able to use and access will be available on all of those devices. So that when you start with a simple baseline, keep it simple, as it were, then you can progressively enhance it for more capable devices, and that moves up to, you know, the bigger screen size of a tablet, and then, of course, laptop and desktop devices, which afford you a bit more facility in terms of using screen real estate for visual aspects, for example. So really, if you can start from scratch, you've got a project coming up, you've got a budget for a brand-new career site, then you can build mobile into that very successfully from the ground up using something like responsive web design, which uses one site that rescales and reorganizes its content and information architecture according to the width of the device that's requesting the page. If you haven't got that opportunity, then you absolutely need to build some sort of mobile destination for your end users to go to as a separate site, maybe as an interim until that big project comes up. Or maybe there are other factors that say this is the way we're going to do it, and we'll use some sort of data feed to provide similar content to both of those environments. But ultimately, you don't want to be driving people to a desktop site when they're accessing it from their mobile. So you can set up a lot of redirect rules when people come into a desktop URL that might have been sent to them in an email, or they found via some other mechanism, such as, you know, some sort of media. And make sure that you've got a redirect mechanism that sends them to this dedicated mobile site. So you need to have some area where people who are using mobile can go to that's optimized for them. And that's where you start. So if you've got nothing in place, start with some sort of dedicated site. You could use a software as a service product, such as some of the stuff that we do at TMP, that will give you all of that functionality out of the box and is less painful in terms of the resource requirement from the client's perspective. And then you can start to consider what you do in the next year or two when you can start to find more available budget.
Where does research, i.e. understanding the candidate's either needs or requirements or expectations, where does that come into play in terms of mobile strategy?
Well, we have, fortunately, a fair amount of data at our disposal that's not necessarily specific to people, you know, looking for jobs, even though there's a lot of that out there, but just how people interact with mobile in general. E-commerce sets a lot of great examples of, you know, how likely it is that people are going to convert from just a sort of shop browser to actually making a purchase. And I always find a useful analogy there in saying the prospective candidate is browsing the store of jobs and opportunities, as it were. And when they start the application process, then they become the sort of purchasing customer, almost like you're adding stuff to your shopping basket on Amazon, for instance, and then actually going to check out. So one of the key things to remember there is that from a strategic perspective, not everyone's going to be comfortable with completing that process on their mobile device. But without any question, they will definitely start to engage with you in that manner. And the great thing is that we do a lot of measurement that tells us what types of devices people are using, what sort of content they're accessing from that, the content that's available, how long they're staying on pages. And you start to see some really interesting patterns emerge. Especially with respect to how people use tablets versus handsets, how long they'll stay on a particular page, and all of this varies according to time of day and particular location. So we, you know, as a business, really take metrics very seriously, and we start to put all of that in the mix. If we're seeing there's certain bits of content people aren't accessing that is really desired to be accessed, then we revisit the information architecture and modify it accordingly. And it's all based off statistics, you know, such as Google Analytics, and of course, deeper statistics related to recruitment, such as tracking from source to hire and seeing where people fall out during the recruitment process, and then trying to modify it so that there's a much higher chance of conversion into an actual applicant.
From a global perspective, what do you see in terms of candidates' expectations from a mobile, you know, from a mobile perspective? If you have a candidate from Finland or Japan or Korea or the UK or the United States, what's different in their expectations?
Well, again, great questions, by the way, and showing a really good understanding of what's going on and what the important facets are. I actually have a graph right in front of me on my laptop, which shows the proportion of smartphone owners in a number of key global locations who are searching for jobs as part of their general smartphone activity. And it has to be said that it's pretty similar across, you know, much of the world. If we're looking at emerging places such as Brazil, China, Thailand, for instance, they're seeing just as high a number of people searching for jobs from mobile as we're seeing in North America and the UK, which is quite similar to North America. One of the key things to realize is in a lot of the emerging countries, mobile technology is actually the main way people access the internet, full stop. They haven't had that whole period of time where we were using our desktop computers via dial-up 56K connections and an analog modem. They've gone straight in with a digital mobile infrastructure. And sometimes it's actually easier to implement new technology in environments where old technology actually didn't even exist as we know it. So they can kind of start from scratch, put in stuff in terms of an infrastructure from a technical perspective, which is very much up to date. And as a consequence, we're seeing that mobile users are the predominant users as opposed to having this discrepancy between the desktop and the mobile device. So I think we cannot fail to realize that in these emerging nations in particular, globally, that mobile is the way to get to people, and especially with the combination with social media as well. We've seen some fascinating statistics about how many people are sharing information that on social networks in places like India, for instance, a very high percentage. So if you can provide facility through the mobile experience where someone finds your content, your jobs, and can easily share it through their social networks, then that's really going to pay dividends from a global perspective.
Nice. What do you think the relationship between geolocation and job search will be in the near future?
Well, it simplifies things. That right now, one of the great things is it moves a step from the user experience. So the journey, rather than having to select location, can be simplified by automatically identifying where you are via GPS on the phone and then serving up content, specifically jobs that are relevant to that particular location. It gives you the facility as well to do a basic search. For instance, I want to find jobs that are within 50 miles of where I currently am, as defined by my phone's GPS coordinates. And also, there's some elements there that will vary according to the type of role. For instance, if you think about geolocation for retail, as an example, where you might be somewhere like Manhattan or London in the middle of town where there are a number of places that have jobs available to be a store associate, a store manager as an example for a retail chain, and then serving up that information that says within this vicinity there are X number of jobs, and then give you a simple way to get through and combine it with mapping. Google Maps provides a wonderful ability via using their API to take their mapping functionality and show up any site in a mobile-friendly environment, allow people to calculate their distance to commute, which makes it gives them a bit more insight when they're viewing job details. All of these things really boil down to one fundamental concept, which is making it easier for the end user. And geolocation definitely does that because it really facilitates the removal of the need to actually define where I am because you already know where I am. And this all rolls into something which I say is the context of what we're telling people. It's not just about content. A long time ago, we used to say content is king. Now we're saying context is actually possibly the emperor. So your content is related to your environment, what device you're using, where you're currently located, even the time of day. If you get that mixed right, then your percentage of engagement with the end user increases dramatically. So geolocation definitely makes things a lot easier, and certainly it gives a lot of great data as well, and in particular being able to define in terms of latitude and longitude perhaps on a heat map where people are accessing information, and also if they're interacting with other things, such as the offline elements I mentioned earlier in this conversation.
If we were having this conversation 10 years from now, what would we be talking about?
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say in 10 years from now, nobody is actually going to be talking about mobile as a separate component. It's going to be embedded, and in fact, this idea of being platform agnostic is actually just going to be taken for granted. It's much like the internet, you know, in many respects. We all take it for granted now, but in its nascency, you know, it was a really exciting thing that people didn't really understand a great deal. And I think mobile is going to go much that way. I always have thought about mobile when it became being a very important topic to be able to nail effectively, is that it gave us a chance to almost start again, because we learned from all the experience we had with the desktop websites we've built over the years, what was important there, and we can embed that into our strategies now. But I think, you know, being at risk of being wrong, I can't see that far into the future, and many things happen, like we saw the social networks, that we couldn't have possibly predicted 10 years ago that they would be so prevalent and such an important part of what we do. Mobile is going to be totally ingrained into everything, and it probably won't even be thought of as a separate thing. It's just going to be part of one big communication ecosystem which has to serve multiple devices, including things like televisions, as I mentioned, and in-car internet, for instance, as an example. All of those things will start to be part of the mix.
Awesome. Awesome, Chad. Where can people reach you? And we're going to roll out to a little cure. So, David, tell us where people can reach you.
They can reach me via the TMP website. It's a great place to start with information about us. Go to the Connect section, and there are a few white papers as well I would ask people to go and have a look at. One about the rudiments of an effective strategy, one about responsive design. I think it's a lot of good food for thought. They can always reach me through there via the contact method.
Awesome. Man, have a wonderful night.
Thank you very much. And you're playing out The Cure, did you say?
I did say that.
I don't know if you chose that on purpose, but thank you very much.
Not a problem. Thank you, and everyone have a wonderful weekend.
Take care. Bye.